SBS
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 SBS Radio.
I'm here in Wellington at Bowen House in the company of an Indian origin Member of Parliament, sitting Member of Parliament, Mr. Mahesh Bindra. It's a great honour to be here in your presence. First of all, welcome to SBS Radio.
Thank you, Manpreet. It's lovely to have you here all the way from Australia.
I'm feeling very welcome. Thank you for that. Now, we have three Indian origin sitting Members of Parliament in New Zealand, which is huge compared to Australia, and you're the only one from New Zealand first. Tell me a little bit more about yourself, about your political pedigree, if there is any, and then we'll talk more about your party.
Okay, Manpreet, I was born in Mumbai, India, went to a Punjabi school, and then later on graduated from University of Mumbai in political science and psychology. I did an honors degree there, and came to New Zealand in about 2002-2003, and was in the prison service as a custodial officer and systems auditor for some time, for about 10 years. And then joined New Zealand first in late 2005. And after that, in 2008, I was asked if I wanted to stand for a seat. And I did not accept that offer because I wasn't ready for electoral politics. However, I kept volunteering for the party, and in 2011 again, I was asked to stand, and I did. However, we have a slightly different system here, which is called MMP. So I was placed number 21 on the list, and I could not make it. However, I was very happy that my party came back to the parliament, because between 2008 and 2011, we were out of parliament. So I was very pleased that in 2011, my party came back with 8 members of parliament. Mm-hmm. And then in 2014, then my position on the list was number 11 and made it to the parliament.
So you've had one term in parliament,
yes,
over here, and the elections are upon us. I'm sure there's a likelihood of you coming back into politics. How would you describe your last term?
It's been very challenging, and it's been a steep learning curve for me. Politics inside the parliament is different from outside the parliament, I would think, in my own words. I have learned a lot from my seniors, particularly from my leader, the Right Honourable Winston Peters. He is the senior most and the most experienced parliamentarian in the country at the moment. He's seen ups and downs like nobody else has. He's a good teacher, a very quiet one. So you have to learn from him. And I've been lucky to be a part of this party.
Now, you are the ethnic affairs spokesperson for your party. How do you see it panning? In Australia, there's a lot of discussion about multiculturalism, about immigration, about citizenship. Some laws are being tightened as well. Your party, just the name is New Zealand First. So is there a shift towards reducing immigration or making it harder for migrants?
Our party is New Zealand First for a reason. What we mean is that our focus is on New Zealand and New Zealanders. We are not anti-immigration. However, we will do everything possible to get only quality immigrants, the immigrants that we need, the skilled ones, and we will not let any government use immigration as a means of lowering wages here and as means of getting cheap labor. We will need skilled immigrants, and we will continue to get those immigrants, but not in the numbers that this present government has done. So we will focus on quality immigration.
You mentioned cheap labour, and there was a recent report that talked about especially the Indian international students who were being exploited. What is your take on that, and how should that be resolved?
We have done, I and my colleague Richard Prosser, who you just met, we did an expose in one of the horticulture towns of New Zealand called Opotiki. We found huge exploitation of Indian students there. Students were being paid about $4 to $5 an hour as against the minimum pay. And we have seen that up to 20 students were kept in a 4-bedroom home, almost like bonded labor. They were given a sack of rice and a sack of dal, and they were given transport from home to the orchard and back. They could not complain. The students are authorized to work for 20 hours a week. However, these students put in up to 70 hours a week illegally. And cash was paid, sometimes in India. No cash was paid here. No wages were given here, just food and shelter. And the cash was paid back in India. So that is a kind of exploitation that was going on here. We have exposed it. The media have stood by us. However, nothing meaningful from the government has happened.
So what are you proposing very briefly? What can be done for these students?
When the government says that it is export education, they should mean it, and they don't. Students will be allowed to come here because our quality of education is still reasonably better than others. And we will encourage more students to come here. However, we will stop the exploitation. The students will come, they will get their better quality education here, and then they can go back and apply as a skilled migrant.
Is that the major electoral issue for you?
This is one of the issues for us. And there are about four or five major things which are common for people of Indian origin as well as for the mainstream KBs. The issues are common, like everybody wants an affordable home. Everybody wants their kids to go to good schools. The elderly want good health system. We need good infrastructure. When we get people from overseas, there's a definite pressure on our infrastructure, and we want to fix that.
And very finally, because we started with the fact that Australia still doesn't have an Indian-born member of parliament, whereas New Zealand is lucky to have at least three already, do you see that number grow in the next elections? And what would your words of advice be to people back home in Australia for us watching you?
Let's talk about those numbers here now. My party and my leader have been accused of being xenophobic. Nothing is far from the truth. We have three of us in the parliament of Indian origin, myself and two MPs from the National Party. Mine is used to be a relatively smaller party, and we were called racists. We were accused of xenophobia. However, when I came to the parliament, my number was 11, right? And we were only 11 MPs. So for a 4% population, 4% is the population of people of Indian origin, for a party to give 10% representation to that 4% population, I think it is very generous. There are bigger parties who do not have any representation from the Indian ethnicity.
Sure. And your message to people in Australia who might have aspirations in the political sphere but need some inspiration, what would you say?
I think I'm too small to give any inspiration. However, I have always believed that once you believe in something, just go for it. If you have a belief in any political party or any political system, and if you think that you can make a difference for your people, then nothing can stop you.
Pleasure to talk to you, Mr. Brinder. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Manpreet.
SBS. SBS. SBS.
SBS.
SBS.
SBS.
SBS.
SBS Radio.